We begin the current daf Maseches Menachos daf Ayin Vav. Beginning the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is discussing the topic of this parak of this Masechta regarding the formation, the making of a mincha, of a flower offering. So says the Mishnah, Kol haManachos Teunos, all flower offerings require Shalosh Meis Shifa, 300 rubbings, which is either, as we'll see in the Mishnah, that they would rub the wheat kernel in the chaff between his hands so that it would be easy to get the husk off, or it's actually going to mean the dough, which is so the dough should be beautiful, so they rub the dough in their hands to make it smooth. And v'chamesh meis be'ita, it requires 500 stompings. Either it means, as one would see this in a pizza store or a place where they make dough, where they pound the dough with the width of their fist, as they knead the dough, or with is actually the thickness of the palm of their hand near their arm, or it means actually stomping on with their feet. This is required by every flour offering. Now, there's a machlikis, as we mentioned, the Tanna Kamma holds that shifu be'ita bechitin. This rubbing and this pounding is when it's a wheat in the kernel. So that again is to be able to easily get off the husk. Rabbi Yisi, he actually said that these two things, these activities are bebatzik, as when it's dough. That's again to make the dough nice. When one pounds it and one rubs it, then it makes it smoother. Now, kol haManachos is bois eser eser. An additional halacha regarding all flour offerings is that they come 10 chalas in that mincha. And Rashi over here actually adds on and says, even mincha seilas, which is actually that even before it's baked, the kmitza is taken off of it, so it's actually done in the raw doughy state, even so he says it's made into 10 different loaves, and that's how it's offered. Now, chutz melechem apan, the exception is 12 showbreads on Shabbos, the chavita kohen gadol and the mincha that the kohen gadol brings every single day, sheheim bois shteim esrei, that they're brought not as 10 chalas, but actually as 12 chalas, as 12 loaves. That's the Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Meir, he says, no, kulum bois shteim esrei, all flour offerings are brought as 12 loaves, chutz mechalas toidu v'naziris, except for the loaves of the Taida, which is 40 loaves over there, there's 10 of each of the four types. And there's by Nazir, as the Pasuk says, by Nazir, Besal Matzahs, Chalas Matzahs, he has to bring two types of also. There's the Chalas and there's the Matzahs. Shein Bois, Esther Esther, where by him, each one is brought 10 of each, which is makes for a total of 20, because there's two types. There it's coming from 10 of each, not like the rest, which are 12. So Machlekes, are they generally 12 or generally 10? And then there's exceptions that it'll be either the other one, the 12 or the 10. Tanu Lin the Brice explained the halacha of our Mishnah that we have 300 rubbings and 500 poundings in either the wheat or the dough. So Tanu the Brice explains the way it was done was shaf achas. First they would rub it one time, bayit shtayim, then pound it two times, then shaf shtayim, then rub it two times, and then bayit shalosh, and then pound it three times. And that was the order, doing that same order 100 times, where it would come out that for every three rubbings, you would have five poundings. So it comes out that there would be 500 poundings for the 300 rubbings, as we said in the Mishnah, if one does it in the cycle that the Brisa just explained. Now, however, in this halacha, Boyer Birmir asked, "Am tuye va'asuye chad?" And that is the way the rubbing is done. It's done that you go back and forth in your hand. And so the question is the going motion and the backward motion considered as one act of rubbing? Or maybe no, I'm tuye vasuye tre. Going and coming is two. Moving your hand forward and then back in the rub is considered two different activities, and that's obviously a huge difference regarding the number 300. Is it going to be 300, or is it going to be, let's say, 600 if you're counting the going and coming as one? My, what's the halacha? Says, let it stand, it's not clear what is the halacha. Now, the Mishnah had said, this machlik is that shifu be'ita bechitin. Tanakama says that the rubbing and the pounding is actually on the wheat to be able to get the husk off easily. Rabbi Yisim Babatzik says it's actually done in the dough to make the dough more beautiful in regards to the breads that were being made in this mincha. Now, Ibarlo, the following question. In this opinion of Rabbi Yisim, was he saying bebatzik v'loy bechitin, that you only do this in the dough and not in the wheat? Or was he disagreeing and saying, no, not only in the wheat, but also, not only when it's a kernel, but also when it's in the dough? Says the Gemara Tashmal, it's being a riot that he was saying it only in the dough and not in the wheat. Because the Tanya learned the Braisa, the same machlaikis, Tanakama says, shifo be'ita bechitin, that the rubbing and the pounding was in the wheat. Rabbi Yisrael says, shifo be'ita bebatzik. So it sounds like from the wording, the way he's saying it, that he was saying it over the same words that the rubbing and the pounding, as if this is only bebatzik, it's only done in the dough. Now the Mishnah had said, kol haManachos bois v'chulu, there was a machlaikis. The first opinion had said, that of Rabbi Yehuda, that all flour offerings are brought 10 loaves, Except there's two exceptions that they're going to be shtei mesrei, they're going to be 12 loaves. And that the Gemara explains why these two are the exception that they're 12. Lechem apanim behed yiksebe. By the 12 showbreads, it says explicitly in the Torah that it's going to be 12. That's how we know there's 12. Chavitika and Gadol, now the other exception of the opinion of Rabbi Huda, that the Mechas Chavitin, the flower offering that the Kohen Gadol brings every single day, how do we know that there it's 12? Because Asi Chuka Chuka Melechem Apanim Lunek Zer Shava, where it says in one pasuk, Chak Oilam Lashem Kol Takter, and another pasuk it says, Ki Kodesh Kodeshim Hu Loi Meisha Hashem Chak Oilam, by both of them it says the word Chuka, so just like by Lechem Apanim, it means 12 breads, so too by the Chavitika and Gadol, we know it means 12 breads. Now, however, as Rabbi Huda said, that kala menachas, but all other flour offerings, the bais Esther Esther, that it's brought as 10 loaves, menalan, asked the Gemara, how does Rabbi Huda know that? Says the Gemara, Gamar, because he learns that other flour offerings, melach me toida, from the breads of the carbon toida, where there it's obvious that it's brought as 10 loaves, as the Gemara explains in the next parak and parak toida, that we know that each loaf is going to be 10, meaning from each type, there's four types, each one's going to have 10 loaves, so we learn out from there, meaning malahal and Esther, just like by the breads of the carbon toida, there's 10 loaves of each type. Afkan Esther, so to over here by all other menachas, it's going to be 10 of that type. Well, that is the Gemara. V'leilif melechem apanim. But why are you learning from the breads of the Tayyid to learn out from the lechem apanim and say, malahal and shtei mesri, just like by the 12, by the showbreads of the shulchan. It's 12 breads. Afkan shtei mesri, also over here by the other menachas, should be 12. Why learn from lechem apanim more than the lechem apanim? Says the Gemara, no, mistabri malach meitayda have leil meilav. It's more logical to say that we'd be learning out and comparing it to the breads of the Tayyidim. Shekain, because they have all these things in common. Yachid, both of them are brought by individuals. Contrast to the lechem apanim, it's brought by the tzibur. It's a public obligation. Hamesnadiv, both of them could be donated. In contrast by the lechem apanim, which is a chayv, it's an obligation. Shemen, both of them require oil. Nifsel, both of them become invalidated by lean if they're left out overnight. Contrast to the lechem apanim, it's left out the whole week. Shalei b'Shabbos, both of them do not override the laws of doing malacha on Shabbos, because they're not a carbon seber, so they cannot be done on Shabbos, in contrast to the lechem apanim. V'shalei b'tumah, and also they don't override the Isra of Tumah. So since they have all these commonalities, it would make more sense to learn that other menachas from the lechem apanim. That is the Gemara, Adrabah, to the contrary, melechem apanim have leilam elef, you should learn that other menachas from the breads of the lechem apanim. Shekein, because they have in common these things. Hekdesh, they're both kachim kachim. Contrast to Taida is a kachim kalam, it's like a shlam. Ulevayin, both of them require frankincense. Matzah, they have to be only for matzah. Contrast to lachmei Taida had chametz too. And the etzim, and they are things that are brought because of their own self. In contrast to lachmei Taida, first of all, they did not require levayin. And also they're brought from chametz, like we said. And also they don't come because of themselves. They come as secondary to the zivchei shlamim, to the carbon that it's brought with, which is the carbon taida. So it's not brought by itself. So that's only commonality that's between menachas and lechem apanim. So maybe we should learn from lechem apanim. So it's more, yeah, but hanach nefishin. The commonalities that menachas, the rest of the flower offerings, have with lechem taida is more than those things that has in common with the lechem apanim. And therefore we learn that from the lechem taida that's going to be 10 loaves and not 12. Now, continues the Gemara, however, but but if we hold that something that its own halacha is learned that it's a gzeir shava from somewhere else, for example, like this halacha of the chavitna, the kohen gadol, that we said before that we learn a gzeir shava chayk from lechem apanim, that that's how we know by the chavite kohen gadol that there was 12 loaves, that halacha is chayzer malame bebenya av, that then you could go ahead and learn out from that its own halacha, which doesn't say in its own context by the chavit. You know a gzeir shava from somewhere else, but you could then teach it still in spite of that to some other halacha through a comparison mamatzinu, which this is actually a discussion Masech Zvachim Daf Nun Beis, if you could go ahead and then learn out something else from this own halacha which it itself was learned from Gzeirah Shava. But if you do learn, if you hold like that opinion, so then we have another question. Then, okay, so we said you're not going to learn out from the lechem apanim because you have more in common with other menachas with the lechem taida. But neilif mechavita kohen gadol, but you should learn out in this mamatzinu, what the Gemara is calling a binyan av, from the chavita kohen gadol, where even though it's learned out itself from gzeirah shava, but that opinion would hold you could learn out from it in a binyan av to something else. And you should say, malahal and shtei mesri, just like the chavita kohen gadol, there's 12 loaves, afkan shtei mesri, also over here by other menachas, should also be 12 loaves. Says the Gemara, no. It's more logical to say that we'd be learning out the other menachas from the breads of the Taida, shekein, because they have the following things in common, and we're making a different list over here because it's in contrast to the chavitin, where before it was in contrast to the lechem apanim, where hedyit, which both the lechem taida and other menachas, it's a regular commoner, a regular person bringing them. Shesnad, that both of them are could be donated. Chatzoyin, that is, they cannot be brought in halves. You have to bring the whole thing as it is. The pigel, both of them are vulnerable to the invalidation of pigel, which is if someone has a machshava of chutz l'zmani when he's doing that avodah. Shleib b'shabbat, both of them cannot be done on Shabbat because they're not karbonis tzibur. V'shleib b'tuma, both of them do not override the halachas of tuma. Where in contrast, the chavitin are not brought by a head yet, it's brought by the kohen gadol. It cannot be donated. It's actually brought in halves, because half of it is brought in the morning, half in the evening. The halacha of pickle does not apply to it, because since all of it is sacrificed, there's no matir in it, it's like an oila. All of it is totally burnt. And it overrides Shabbos and Tumah. So therefore, it would make more sense to learn it out from the Lach Metayda, and from other menachas from the Lach Metayda, because it shares that in common, in contrast with the Chavitin Kohen Gadol. But in that, it's the Gemara Adrabba, to the contrary. No, we should learn out the other menachas from the chavite kohen gadol, from the mincha that kohen gadol brings every single day, that it should be 12 loaves, not 10 loaves. Shekein, because you have the following things in common where between the chavitin and other menachas. Isarin, both the chavitin and other menachas only come a tenth of an eifah of flour, in contrast to lach metayde where there's many esroinim, it's much more flour than that. Kli, the chavitin and other menachas require kli sharis, because it's the vessel that sanctifies, and in contrast to Lach Metayda, it's not the vessel that sanctifies those breads, it's actually the slaughtering of the carbon Taida that sanctifies the breads. Hektish, both the Chavidin and other Menaches are Kachim Kachim, in contrast to the Lach Metayda, which are Kachim Kalim. Ulevayna, both of them require frankincense, in contrast to Lach Metayda. Matzah, they have to be only unleavened, in contrast to Lach Metayda, that has Chametz breads. The Etzim, they come by themselves, in contrast to Lach Metayda, are coming as secondary to the Taida itself. Hagash, they both require being brought to the corner of the Mizbeach. Ve'ishim, and they're put onto the fires, which again, the Lach Metayda doesn't have that. It's eaten by the Kahanim and by the owners. The Hanifishin, and moreover, this is a bigger list, what it has in common, other menachas with Chavitika and Gadol, than what it has in common with Lach Metayda. So why are you saying that it is 10 breads? Because you're learning from Lach Metayda, says 12 loaves, because you're learning it from the Chavitika and Gadol. And that answers the Gemara, but yet still, hedyid me hedyid. To learn out the menachas from Taida, where both of them are menachas brought by a commoner, in contrast to the chavitin, which is the carbon of the kohen gadol, is adiflay, is better for him to compare a carbon of a commoner to a commoner, and therefore that's why Rabbi Yehuda learns going to be 10 loaves by regular mincha, not 12, to learn now from the chavit. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Mishnah had quoted Rabbi Meir, he says, no, kulam bo ishtem eser, all flour offerings are brought as 12 loaves. So ask the Gemara, Mike Sava, what does he hold? Why does he hold that they're all brought 12? So then it's the Gemara, because isvi related davah halama b'gzeir shava, if he learns, as we said, as a discussion in the Gemara in Zvachim, but if he does hold that something that's learned from b'gzeir shava, meaning the chavitin, could be chayzim alam bin yav, could then go ahead and teach to something else through a mamatzinu. So yolof mechaviti, the kohen gadol. So that's why Remei learns out other menachas from chaviti kohen gadol, which are 12 loaves, as we said, which we know it as b'gzeir shava from elsewhere. The Han Nefishin, like we said, because there's actually more things in common that the Menachas have with the Chavita Kohen Gadol than it has with the Lach Metayda. And Isvirlan says, if he holds that, no, the Dava Alam Gzeir Shava, something that itself was learned from Gzeir Shava, in the Chayzim Alam Ben Yav, you cannot then learn out other things from it through a comparison. So you cannot learn out from Chavitin, which it itself was learned out from a Gzeir Shava to Lechem Apanim. So Yalav Melechem Apanim. So rather, you could actually learn out other Menachas straight from Lechem Apanim, that is 12 loaves. Because hektish mehektish adiflay, it's more preferable for him to learn out something that itself is hektish from something else that is kodesh kodeshim. In contrast, the Lach Metayda, which are kachim kalim, is a different category. He'd rather learn out, even if there's more things in common with the Lach Metayda, but you'd rather learn out something from the same category of kachim kachim, and that's why, according to Reb Meir, they're all going to be 12. In contrast, as the Mishnah continues, as our Gemara quotes, Chutz Melach Metayda. In the series, there's two exceptions. There's the breads of the Tayda, which we have been explaining, that there's going to be 10 loaves of each type, and by the Naziris, which are Nazir, in his procedures, he brings two types of loaves over, so that each one has 10. Shem Bois, Esser, Esser, that there, those are the two exceptions, that they're going to have 10 loaves each type. As the Gemara explains, Lach Metayda, the breads of the Tayda, Behedik Sibhu. Explicitly, the Torah tells us that they're going to be 10, because it says, the Hikrav Mimenu Achas Mekol Karban Truma. As the Gemara says in the next parak, in Perak HaTayda, that it says over here that you have to take off Truma to give to the kohen from the lachmei tayid. And it says by trumas meiser, the same word truma. Just like over there, it means 1/10, which is the meiser that a Levi has to give from his meiser to the kohen. Also over here, it says the same word. It means 1 out of every 10. So therefore, you see obviously that there's 10 loaves of each type that are brought, and 1/10 of that is given to the kohen. Naziris, how do we know by the breads of the Nazir that there's 10 of each type? Because the Amamaz, the master, had said elsewhere, says in the Pasuk in the Yukra, Perek Zayin Pasuk Yigimel, it says in the context of the breads of the carbon taida, it says, Al Zevach Taidas Shalomov. On the carbon of his taida, his shlamim. Why does it say shlamov? We're talking about a taida. What do you need that word for? So that word shlamov is Lurab Shalmi Nazir. It's coming to include another carbon, that of the shlam that the Nazir brings, to say that for the measurements of the breads of the taida, that there's 10 Yerushalayimi kav, which is a certain measurement, and for half a lug of oil, and also for this halacha that we're talking about over here, that you have to have 10 loaves of each type, the Torah compares the word shlamav to the context of the taida to say that the shalmei nazir is just like the lachmei taida, that just like over there requires 10 loaves, here also it's going to be 10 loaves of each type of the breads of the nazir. Continuing these halachas of the lachmei taida, so Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna Amar Shmuel, he says lachmei taida, the breads of the taida, which we explained that there's supposed to be 40 breads, 10 of each of the four types. But shafon arbachalas, let's say instead of baking 40, they only baked 4 breads, meaning you have one of the chalas matzah, you have one of the chametz chalas, you have one of the rikikin, which is the wafer type, and then you have one of the revucha, which is the scalded type, because those are the four types. Instead of making 10 of each type, you made one of each type. So says Shmuel Yatze, let's fulfill this obligation. Now that is taking up, but v'bina arbam, but you need 40, not 4. So says the Gemara mitzvah, that's just for the ideal mitzvah, but b'diyavet, after the fact, 4 is going to be valid too. Now that is the Gemara, but v'bayi ifrusha truma minayu, but you have to separate truma from those breads. Like the Pasuk says, truma, as we mentioned before, that you have to take one of each type, which is eaten by the kahanim. Like it says, la'kain hazar gets adam lo'yiyah, for the kain who did the avodah, he gets 1 out of the 10, and the other 9 eaten by the owners. So how are you going to do that if you have only one bread of each type? Now, v'chitim, if you're going to say, oh, the mafresh mekol chad v'chado, you'll take 1/10 of each loaf and give that 1/10 to the kayin. And that says, the Gemara, you can't say that because echad amrachman, the Torah says one. It says, v'hikrav mimeno echad mekol karbon. You're going to give one of each type, which one of the 10 sounds like a whole one. Shalitl paris, that you can't take a broken piece. So how are you going to fulfill the obligation of giving the truma to the kayin if you only have one loaf of each type? So it's the Gemara that for Shina Balisha, it's talking about where he separated 1/10 of it when they were still kneading it into a dough. At that time, it wasn't a problem about being broken because it's just dough. Then you're taking 1/10, and that's going to be the 10th of the kind. Then they baked it, and then it comes out. They only have one loaf of each type. That's going to be valid after the fact. Now, however, the Gemara is Meisvei from the following Brisa on the Halacha of Shmuel. The Brisa says, Kol hamanoches shariba b'midas chalasan. All flour offerings where they increased the measurement of the breads. I mean, instead of making 10 breads, they made 11 or 12 loaves. Or they diminished the measurement of the breads. They made less than 10 loaves. Says the Brisik, Sheris is going to be valid. Chutz, but there are certain exceptions where it has to be 10 loaves. Milechma panim, the showbreads, you have to have 12. The chavitika and gadol, which we said also has to be the 12. V'lach me taid in the breads of the taid, which has to be 10. The naziris, which also learned that from taid, which also has to be 10. So you see that if you diminish or increase the measurement of the breads, in these cases, including the lach me taid, it's going to be pasul, which is difficult on Shmuel, who said that no, even if you don't do 40, if you do 4, you do only one of each type, not 10, it's going to be valid. Here you see the Brisa explicitly said it's going to be invalid. Says Gemara, you're right, but who, Shmuel, as we continue to Beis, is the Amar Kihai Tana. He's going like a different Tana. It's a Machalikus Tanaim. The Tana like learned the Braisa. Says the Braisa, Kal HaManoche Shariba B'midis Chalasin, all flour offerings that they increased the measurement of their loaves. Or Shamid B'midis Chalasin, or they diminished the measurement of their loaves. Says the Braisa, as we said before, Ksheris, they're going to be valid. Chuz, but there are exceptions. Melechem Apanim, V'chavitika and Gadol. Which, as we said before, those two require 12 of each type. But this Tana Kama doesn't say anything about the Lachmei Toida and the Naziris, that they're invalid if they don't have their 10 loaves of each type, where we see it's going to be kosher, which is like Shmuel said. Now, v'yesh oimna, those who say, which is like the time of the previous breitza, aflach me toidib in the zirs, that even by the breads of the toidib in the zirs, it's going to be possible. So you say it's machalik sanayim, and Shmuel is like the Tanakama. A similar halacha of that of Shmuel, Amr Afunni says, mintches ma'afi, the baked menachas, which we said there's a certain category of those that are baked, not fried, not dough, which the halacha is, as we said, that requires to have 10 loaves of each, where instead he baked it as only one loaf, Yatza says Rav Huna has fulfilled his obligation. My time, what's the reason? Because it says matzas ksiv. Although it's saying matzais in the plural, but it's written matzas in the singular since it's missing a vav. So that tells us even if you made only one matzah, only one loaf, it's going to be valid. Now, maskeb le Rapapa. Rapapa asked on this interpretation of Rav Huna. He says, wait, time in the ksiv matzas. So you tell me the reason why it's valid by the minchas mafe with one loaf is because it's written without a vav. Haksiv matzais, but it was written with a vav in the plural. Then you're going to tell me lie that then it wouldn't be valid. Actually, it would be have to have the amount that it's supposed to be, which is 10 loaves. But v'agabi lach mitayda, which is the previous Gemara's discussion, but the breads of the tayda, the siv matzais, there it says it in the plural with a vav. And yet still we quoted the previous halacha of Amrav Tuvi Bar Kiyas Namar Shmuel. He said lach mitayda shafon arbachalas yatza, that if you make it 4 loaves, it is valid, even though it says in the plural, and that even if you make one of each type, it's valid. That contradicts your interpretation that you said it's only because it says in the singular. Says the Gemara, you're right, Hahi, that of Rav Tuvi, who he said that even though when it's written in the plural, it's still going to be valid if you do only singular, do one, is pliga, is disagreeing with Allah Rav Huna. Rav Huna holds only because it's written matzas, in the case of Mechas Mafi, is valid, but you're right, he would hold, but Lach Mitayi, they would be invalid. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Ha'omer ha'yiba isarin mishalish soin. The carbon omer, the barley offering that was brought on the 16th of Nisan, they would take an isarin, a tenth of an eva of flour, which would be derived from 3 sa' of barley store of barley itself. Meaning to say that they would bring all that large measurement, 3 sa', which is a certain measurement of barley, and they would sift it in a sieve 13 times until they got the most refined flour of inisarin, a tenth of an eva of flour. Now, in contrast, shtehalechem, the 2 breads of the wheat, new wheat breads on Shavuos, was shtei esrayinim, was double that amount, 2 esrayinim, which was also from the same original amount of mishal sa'in, of 3 sa' of wheat kernels. Now, lechem apanim, the 12 showbread that came every single Shabbos, was even less than that. In the sense that Esrim va'arba Esrainim, it was 24 Esrainim, because that's what the Pasuk says, that there was 12 loaves, and the Pasuk says, Beis Esrainim yechala achas, that each loaf was 2 Esrainim, so 2 times 12 is 24. And that was me'esrim va'arba sa'in, that was from 24 sa'. So again, so the Omer had a ratio of 3-1, the Shtei Alechem had 2-1, and by the Lechem Pan was 1-1, but you would get 24 Esrainim from 24 sa'. Now, the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason that the Isaran of the Omer required so much barley, 3 sa of barley, to get that Isaran for the Omer carbon? Says the Gemara, Kivin the Mechadash Asi, since it was brought from the new grain, that's it was actually what was permitting the new grain to be eaten in the Medina, that the new grain comes, it has a lot of chaff, more than the flour that comes out of it. Additionally, Umisaran Asi, it's coming from barley, which has more bran, more chaff than that of wheat. So therefore, isar mufchar, to get a refined tenth of an eifa, lo yaseh el mishal shayin, you can only get if you have a large quantity, that of 3 sa of barley. Now the Mishnah had said, in contrast, shtei halechem, the 2 breads of wheat on Shavuos, there was only shtei esrainis mishal shayin, you only needed 3 sa to get 2 esrainis. So the Gemara explains. Kivin the mechit nasin, since it's coming from wheat, so avagav the mechadash asin, even though it's coming from the new grain, and that's because by Shavuos time it's still new. That's when the grain is ripening. So then shtei esrainis asu mishalish soin. Then you could get double the amount, 2 esrainis from 3 sa. Because although it's new, just like the omer, but it's still wheat, which has less chaff than the barley. And therefore you can get double. You get 2 esrainis from the same amount of the original 3 sa. Now the Mishnah continues, says lechem apanim, the 12 showbreads are esrim va'arba esrainis, me'esrim rabba sa'in, is 24 esrainis from 24 sa. So it's like, well, my time, what's the reason why there you only get a ratio of 1 sa to 1 isarin? Is kivin mechidin asu, because first of all, it's from wheat, which has less chaff. Umi'ashin asu, and that is the rest of the year, even at a time when there's new grain, they can still bring from the old grain, contrast to the omer and the shtei alechem has to be from the new grain. So since it's wheat and old grain, isarin mufcha asim isar, you can even get a refined isarin from 1 sa' of wheat. Now Tanabam Lunna Braisam, Kalam anachet shariba b'midas esroinan. Any mincha, where they increased the measurement of the isarin, meaning that they measured, isarin is a certain measurement of the flour. So if they measure with a larger vessel of in the isarin, or let's say they put in an isarin and a half, they let it overflow. So then, as we're going to explain this brisa, that mincha is going to be invalid. Why? Because when the kohen is going to do the kemitza, he's going to be taking a kmitza from the additional excess that's put in more than the isarin, because the vessel, the isarin, the measurement was too big, or the interpretation that there was isarin and a half. Now it comes out that the isarin is not having a full kmitza, because the kayin, when he's doing kmitza, is having also from that other flour, which is not part of the initial, the essential isarin. So it comes out that really the kmitza is missing. Now, a Mishnah elsewhere teaches that when you have a kmitz that's lacking a complete kmitza, a fistful of flour of the mincha, it's going to be possible. So that's a problem of, let's say you measure it in too big of an isarin. Let's say you measure it in the isarin that's too small, it's not really holding an isarin of flour, it's less than that. So it comes out that the mincha is lacking, it doesn't have a full isarin. Now, a Mishnah teaches that it says in the pasuk, it says ha-mincha, which says that it excludes if the mincha is missing or if the kmitza is missing. So in these two cases, psulas, the mincha is going to be invalid. But says the Braisa, let's say riba b'midas saw in shalhan, which relates back to halacha of a Mishnah, we're talking about both the flour and the saw, the measurement of that it comes from originally. If let's say they increase the measurement of the saw, where let's say they brought an oimer, the isarin, from instead of the original three saw, they brought it from four saw. Or let's say they diminished the measurement. Instead of bringing from three saw of barley, they brought it from two saw of barley. Here the Braisa says ksheris, there it's going to be valid. That's not a problem, because that's just initially what we should do to get a refined isarin, but that's not the ikra halacha. The primary is to have an isarin, you'll have a isarin. Now that those who actually explain this halacha, the Braisa, what does it mean, riba b'midas isarin? And it's actually referring to the halacha of the flour, the minchas nesachim that comes with karbanas. Torah says, shleish isarin lapar, Rishneim la'oil, v'isarin la'kebis. Each type of animal requires a certain amount of flour. And that the Braisa is saying, if let's say you increased, instead of taking three for the par, you took four isarinim, and you took three for an ayil, or you did less than that, so that's exerza kasa, you're not a change, and it's going to be possible. But regarding the measurements that you take from to refine it from, that's not exerza kasa, that's going to be kasha if you do more or less, because that's just a takan chachamim to get the most refined, and that you could change, and therefore it's going to be valid. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding, as we said, the refining of getting the measurement of the flour that's needed for these karbanas, these three types of menachas that we mentioned. So ha'imer, the barley offering of the 16th of Nisan, ha'yimenupa b'shleish esri nafa, was sifted with 13 sieves, as we're going to explain in the Gemara, different types of sieves which sift out the bran or the powdery part of the flour that's not ideal. Now, shtei halechem, which is the second category mentioned in the previous Mishnah, is b'shtei mesrei, was sifted with 12 different sieves. V'lechem aponim b'yudalf, and the 12 showbreads of every Shabbos, was sifted with 11 different types of sieves. As we explained in the previous Mishnah, the reason for that differentiation, which requires more refinement by the Eimer than it does by the other two. Now, Reb Shimon Eimer, regarding this last case of the lechem aponim, says, lo ha'yilein kitzvah. Now, it didn't have a set amount. It didn't need to be sifted with 11 sieves. Because he holds, even if it's bought from the market, the only thing is, elasaylis menupa called sarkohay, maybe. The requirement was that you should have refined flour that should be brought. But you don't have to go ahead and do this exact activity of the sifting, as we mentioned by the Oimer and the Shtei Halechem. Because the Pasuk says in Miyukr, it says, v'lakachta saylis, which he interprets as buying, you can purchase refined flour, v'fisaysa, and you bake it, which sounds like even at the time when you're buying, it could already be ready for baking. Which is achdei menupa kol tzarka, until it's sifted as it's required, but you don't have to do the actual activity of the sifting as a part of the avodah of preparing the lechem aponim for the breads that's put on the shulchan. Now, Tanan ban lun the braisa, explaining the halacha of our Mishnah, which we spoke about these different siftings in the sieves, that way it's done with these 13 sieves that we mentioned in the Mishnah, says the braisa is bedaka. First, you sift with a very fine sieve, which, since it's very fine, so the holes are very small, so it only lets out a medium type of dust, flour dust, which is not so white. Then you go to the other extreme. You take bagasa, you take a very coarse sieve, which has very big holes, which actually what it's going to let out is the flour, and it's going to only hold back the bran, the heavy, thick things. Then you go ahead now, and you sift it, the flour, back bedaka with a later type of a fine one, which is finer than the thicker one. But it's not the fine one that we had in the beginning, but rather a bigger type of a fine sieve, which is thicker than the first one. Which this is going to let out a little bit more dust, which the first one didn't let out because it's a little bit bigger. Then you go begas, you go the other extreme now. You go and you take a coarse sieve, which again allows out the flour and holds back the bran. And this coarse one is going to be thinner than the first coarse one. So this is going to hold back more bran that's a little bit smaller than the first ones than what the first coarse one had held back. And then again, you go back to a fine one until you do 13, where this fine one is going to be thicker than the first fine one. And this coarse one, which has bigger holes, is going to be more thin, more fine than the first, the one before it that was coarse. Now, according to this interpretation of Rashi, which there are different interpretations of the printed Rashi, and even Rashi over here brings context from Rabbeinu Peretz, that Reb Shimon that we're going to quote right now doesn't disagree with this context. And rather, he's just explaining the halacha that the Braisa starts off with. Reb Shimon Lazarim, he says, Shleish esrei nafis hoyi b'mikdash. As we said in the mission, there were just 13 thieves, the sieves in the Beis HaMikdash. Zu l'mayla mizu, as we described them, that they one was bigger than the other in the sense of its holes. Vizu l'mayla mizu, and this one was bigger than the other. As we described, it was the fine ones and it was the coarse ones. And we said they had consecutively bigger holes or smaller, depending on, we were talking about the fine ones or the coarse ones. Where El Yaina, the upper ones, meaning the coarse ones, is Karlet Subin, is what holds and holds back the bran. So the thing is that as the holes get smaller and smaller when you're doing the coarse ones, it's holding back more and more and more of the not fine parts of the flour. In contrast, tachtaina, the lower ones, meaning the fine sieves, what we're calling lower because it's the smaller holes, is kaleta silas, holds back the flour. I mean to say it's only going to let out the more refined as it goes on, which is because that's what it lets out the flour itself. It's actually going to hold back the silas, which is because those are the small holes, only going to let out those which are the most refined. So it's only going to let out the dust, meaning it holds back the flour and lets out the dust from the sieve in the low ones, and then again those which are the lamaila, you go back in this whole order, you go back and forth, where the tachtoina ones are the fine ones and the lamaila ones are the coarse ones, and then again, as we said, that order, then you go to the third one, which is finer than the second one, and the fourth one, which is coarser than the other one. You go back and forth, one another, so one's holding back the bran, and the other one's holding back the flour and letting out only the dust, because there's really opposites that we have to do over here. We have to hold back the bran, and we also have to hold back and let out the dust, which is, it's inferior if it's too thick or too thin, and the fine flour is some in the middle. So that's why you have these two opposite types of sieves, and that's the 13 that we had in the Mishnah, which the Braisa described. You go gasa daka, gasa daka, gasa daka, until you go through from that whole order of the 13 in that order. Which again, one could look at it as from 1 to 13, from the thinner all the way to the thicker, but we're going 1, 13, 2, 12, and that's how we go in that order, going back and forth. Now, the Mishnah had said, Reb Shimon Naimi, he disagrees with the Tanakhama. It says, no, regarding, for sure, at least according to Rashi, other Rishonim interpretations, but regarding the lechem upon him, lohayilan kitzvah, there wasn't a set amount that you had to do like the Mishnah described, 11 sieves. Rather, you could even just purchase it, just make sure it's refined flour. Now, Tanabon, when the Braisa explains his halach, it says in the pasuk about lechem upon him, it says, for lekachta, that you should buy, seilis, refined flour, vafisaisa, and you'll bake it. Now, what this teaches, malamach and nikachas, this teaches that you could purchase from the marketplace when it's seilis, when it's fine flour. Now, ominayin shafel achidin, but how do you know that if you really want to, that you could even buy it as wheat itself, not as fine flour, and then you'll make it into fine flour? Tamalem of lekachta says you could buy, which is mikam alkam, in those situations, as long as it's fine flour at the time of the baking, even if you buy it as wheat, that's also okay. Now, but yachal af b'shar menachas ken, you would think the same thing would apply to other menachas too, that an individual brings, that he could buy wheat and himself make it into fine flour, into silas. Tamalem aysa. Now, that's what the passage says. Aysa vafisa. Which only here you could buy it as a measurement of wheat from the marketplace, but not other menachas, because not everyone is so proficient to be able to sift it out in sieves to make it fine flour. Rather, the halacha actually would require that you buy it as seilis from the marketplace, that you get professionally fine sifted flour to use for your mincha. Now, what's the reason why it's only a dispensation for the lechem aponim? It's because the Torah is lenient by the lechem aponim, specifically only over there, so as to save money. As the Gemara explains, the Torah was concerned for the money of the Jewish people. Now, the lechem aponim, first of all, it's very common. It happens every single Shabbos. Moreover, there's 24 strenim, a large quantity that's used for the lechem aponim. So therefore, it's going to be a great loss of money, because fine flour that's poured in the marketplace is very expensive, because the store owner has to make money. So therefore, the Torah allowed over there to purchase wheat. But a mincha that an individual brings, which is not so common, a regular individual doesn't bring every single day, and it's only going to be one isra, not 24 isra. So they were not concerned for the great amount of money that he has to spend in buying it in the market, and therefore he has to buy it fine flour. He can't make it himself into fine flour. Now says Gemara, we're going to the last point, Hecher Miza, where in the Torah is it alluded to that the Torah is concerned for the money of the Jewish people? They're still like it says, the passing by Midbar, says, Veshki says, Eidavis Beim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to get water for the Jewish people, that you should give the assembly, the Jewish people, and their animals to drink. You see that Hashem was concerned not just for the Jewish people, but also for their animal, for their money, and therefore we had this dispensation purely for the Lechem upon them, that you could buy it as wheat, and sift it and get that cheaper price. We shall return to the seventh parak Masechta Menachos, parak Eilo Menachos Nekmatzos, which spoke about the halachas of formation of the menachos of the flour offerings that are brought in the base of Mikdash.